Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Winner's Circle. I am joined by, he's no stranger to the channel. He's no stranger to anybody that's watching. It's the guy X. What's going on, bro? It's so good to have you
What's
on here.
Happening? What's happening, bro? I think was the last time I was on Winner's Circle when Remy X came out. Was that the last time I was on here?
Yeah, when you broke out the Remy when Taylor won Big Brother, so I was like, all right, well, we're kind of early in the day. Listen, bro, you can break it out if you want.
No, but not today. Nah, it's another time.
It is a Monday.
This game is too complicated to be Remified. This game's layered.
No, well, I got to be honest with you. I need you completely clear-minded and ready to answer some of the grueling questions that I have. But first of all, I just want to kind of start this off by letting everybody know we are going to be chatting about the anonymous Xavier. If you haven't been watching this show, is one, you are like a staple of the show. You do an incredible job of kind of like narrating as a player. Like you're like a player / narrator of the season, which is really, it makes it good for viewers, to be honest, because it's like, you're kind of giving your insight, the strategy, you're talking about the game as well. And so it's been really helpful, but let's jump right into it. We're talking about the anonymous people. This is streaming on USA Network, also on Peacock. On Peacock, we have 5 episodes out. The 6th episode is going to be coming out. We're recording this Monday before the 6th episode drops. So be sure to check it out. It's a really, really fun show. And if you love you some Xavier, like I do, watch The Anonymous and you get a heavy dose of this guy. So X, let's jump into this show. What made you want to do something like, these first seasons of shows are unique and you don't really know what to expect. So what made you want to come into this? What kind of drew you in?
Honestly, it's kind of that aspect in and of itself. I think with Big Brother, I was able to kind of take months prior to going into the house and watch season after season after season. Really, like, I watched it like game film. Like, you're a former college athlete, you get it. Like, you watch game film, you're studying, like, what players are doing that's working. How can I incorporate that into my game? It made the game easier for me. But with these new games, it kind of forces you to really stretch yourself as a game player. We both did Big Brother and then we did Reindeer Games, and we could both say that Reindeer Games was very different from Big Brother. We had never seen it before. So it challenged us in a way that was different. And this show, it was more social strategy just at the core of it. And there was something that I hadn't seen before. So I wanted to kind of challenge myself. One, the concept just intrigued me. It seemed like it was a nexus of all these other show elements kind of brought into one. So that, I'm very selective with kind of the shows that I do, and just the concept of this show is what drew me to it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a really great point. The concept of the show, one, is it's a lot of different things. It's a lot of different shows, right? Like, it has that component of, being anonymous, like in the circle. It has this like almost like air it out in person and social component of like, a Traitors or even a Big Brother. Like, there's that face-to-face component, right? And so I was really intrigued by the show, but then I start thinking about the first episode and how they ultimately tell you the rules of the game. And so for me, I kind of wanted to jump to different points. So first component is that first day for you. Mm-hmm. You hear the rules of the game, right? There's a ton. There's the anonymous mode. The anonymous is who ultimately is going to send people home. If you keep your handle secret, then you become the anonymous. And there's a social component. You're sleeping in a compound. Like I'm word vomiting right now. When you hear all this, as a player and as somebody who was a beast on Big Brother, you did incredible on the Reindeer Games. What's going through your head of like, how am I gonna grasp this? How am I gonna strategize and have any success?
So with this game, the anonymous mode made me nervous. The anonymous mode made me nervous because I know in the first episode they just kind of show that I just kind of like word vomit that I won Big Brother. Right. Yeah, that wasn't the case.
you could tell.
Yeah, I had told people that I was like a lawyer just in case there were people who knew of me, but I didn't really get into the Big Brother history. I was kind of waiting to feel people out and see if like anyone actually knew who I was. And then night one, Dylan comes up to me and he tells me like, oh, you know, I know who you are, right? And then from there, I was like, okay, if he knows who I am, then like, they're either he could use it against me or there's other people here who know who I am and just aren't speaking up and are waiting till we get in that anonymous chat mode to just light me up. And so my whole approach to the game changed then. I felt like I went from preparing to play maybe a little more of a devious and kind of deceptive game to now I had to be far more transparent to try to get people to trust me. That's why I ended up telling everybody. And I think that kind of selective honesty did gain me some favor with, my fellow competitors starting out, just because then it was like, here's everything about me. Like there's literally not anything for me to hide. So when we go into the chat, they're not hitting people with anything that I haven't already told them. It's like an 8 Mile when Eminem says everything that Papa Doc wants to say about him before he even gets to it. And then he's just sit there speechless. Like they really didn't have anything else to target at me in the anonymous chat mode because I've already told it myself.
Right.
So with the anonymous chat mode, it was like, okay, this is a chance for people to really speak on how they feel with like really no repercussions. That's an element that I haven't dealt with at all. Like in Big Brother, even if you blindside somebody, like it kind of, at some point it kind of gets back to like what happened. But like in this game, you could send somebody home if you get the anonymous power. You can be in the chat blowing people up. You really never get any confirmation about what's happening. And that's a very difficult game aspect to kind of navigate, just because without that confirmation, everything you're doing is purely like speculation.
And yeah. I think it was the right choice. Obviously it's hard to see everything played out because you're in the compound, you're in anonymous mode. There's a lot of footage that they're getting each day.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't really show it all.
Yeah.
Right? But it was a good call.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I thought it was the right call to get in front of that versus, you know, one person knowing and now other people start to find out through that person. Yeah. It's a bad look and that's where distrust happens and you don't want that. So I thought that was a good play on your part.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of my thought process too. And it's funny, I had Dan text me. He was like, why did you tell everybody that you won Big Brother? I was like, Dan, do you really think I would do that if I didn't feel like I needed to? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was, it ended up kind of working in my favor just because it helped. I think it kind of allowed people to get trust with me. But yeah, that anonymous chat mode is interesting. The game itself is designed to take players and whoever they're closest with in like real time, it like the game is designed to incentivize you to want to throw them under the bus to increase the odds that you become, you know, someone who gets the anonymous power. And I didn't like that. I felt like that was kind of, I didn't want to throw my allies under the bus because ultimately I feel like I'm going to need my allies because at some point a light bulb is going to click in people's head that like, what the hell is Xavier still doing here? So I'm like, I need people who are on my side to keep that light bulb from as dim as possible for as long as possible. And
that's really fair. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But like Jack did it right off the rip. Andy under the bus.
Right off the rip. And for me, I think that's an effective strategy. I just think it can also come back to bite you in the ass if the math like at a certain point, numbers are going to dwindle to where like it becomes easier and easier to kind of figure out who's doing what. And so it was one of those things. Plus for me, I felt like people already thought because of like being a lawyer or being a Big Brother winner that I might be doing stuff like that. So it would behoove me to not do it just because like then if they ever try to question me about it, I can just tell them the truth and it will be backed up in ways that I can explain. Yeah, so I like it's designed to incentivize people to throw their allies under the bus. And that's just something I was like, I feel like there's a way to get power without having to, you know, leave my allies out to dry. And I did figure that out, interestingly enough. And I don't think Danny was too happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, you handled this beginning portion of the game, I thought, flawlessly. I thought being a Big Brother winner, it's really easy to have a target on your back. And it's really easy to just immediately be a threat. You're not a player that went on Big Brother. You're a winner coming from Big Brother. That's a huge target, especially for people that have never played a game. They're learning a game and they're like, well, this guy went in, learned a game. And if they know anything about Big Brother, it's very difficult to win that game. And so that's a target. So I thought you going in, vocalizing it, and then being just who you are. You're just a likable guy. You're trustworthy. And you were that way face to face. And so it would be harder to then connect you with anything irrational happening in the chat, which I thought you played it really well, which got you through that beginning portion of the game when it's really chaotic and really everybody's figuring it out. Yeah. Right? Like everybody's figuring it out.
Everybody's trying to figure it out. It's absolute chaos. But like some people are figuring it out quicker than others. Like I think Jack had a pretty good handle on his strategy. Yeah. I don't know that he fully appreciated maybe how that he was jeopardizing maybe his allies' game, but he was getting him power. So ultimately it was like kind of working, but like there were some kind of negative effects of that strategy as well. But it was clearly working. I mean, he got anonymous two of the first three times.
Yeah, it was great until Lily. But I think what you mentioned there, it's really important for people to understand. It's like you can do that all you want, but if you put your allies up and then they become – and then you're losing them, the anonymous is now going to eliminate you because you're not an ally. They're going to keep their allies that are in the social setting. So it's dangerous.
There's two strategies that I found the most dangerous in this game. And like
I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah, so I find them effective but also dangerous. So you have Jack strategy, which is, you know, you get really close with someone in person and then in the chat mode, you throw them under the bus. I think the obvious kind of downside to that is that like you're painting a huge target on your allies' back where if you don't get the anonymous power, someone else who gets it might actually be wanting to target that person now. And you essentially indirectly just sent your closest ally home. And then there's another strategy, whereas you can impersonate somebody. You saw me do that the first couple of times with Lily. And this was effective. So like every time after the test is taken, you see where you rank. And in the episodes, you'll see people getting X's. That's kind of how they did. So
Wait a minute. Just for viewers, because that's a big question. You see how close you were to becoming the anonymous.
Yes. So you can see how well you're doing. And in the episode, you see like X, X, X. That's where people are placing.
Confirm the way that they're showing us people reacting to getting the X is actually ultimately what
the order,
Generally.
Wow.
I want to pay so much more attention to that.
I won't say it's every time it's spot on, but I've fact checked it and like, yes, that's generally how it goes. Cause like I was doing very well in being anonymous the first couple of times. I was top five the first two times, I think fourth and maybe fourth again. But I recognized quickly that I was like, oh, man, if I'm doing a good job of impersonating Lily, that means Lily's getting a ton of votes that are probably increasing the odds that she becomes anonymous as well, which was verified watching it back, seeing that Lily got final two in those first two times. I was like, yeah,
right.
That's problematic. You don't want to impersonate someone who you're not actively working with because then you're giving power to someone who might target you or your allies. That's also not beneficial. So like if you're going to impersonate anybody, you need to find someone who you're working with that might be very different from you. I think that's probably the most effective strategy because you're not throwing an ally under the bus, and you're increasing the odds that your ally becomes anonymous if you do it effectively. But yeah, those are arguably the two most dangerous strategies. Just straight up throwing your ally under the bus and impersonating someone who might want to get rid of you or like people you're working with, because you're giving them votes too. That's what, I mean, we saw Tyrina lean into that with the third episode when Robbie was portraying her. And I was like, yeah, you see me say it in the episode. It was like, that's not good if someone that I'm working with is pretending to be Tyrina, because you're giving Tyrina, working with is pretending to be Tyrina, a good job. For example, with the third episode, when it comes down to the decision for Tyrina, people just think that we just kind of jumped Tyrina. There was a lot of things that happened that day that led to people targeting Tyrina. No one's ever going to see it fully. That's just, and I don't envy the editors. They have an impossible job. Like, I can't, they're trying to capture this story the best way they can out of 24 hours of footage and cram it into 50 minutes. It's impossible. And out of 24 hours of footage and cram it into 50 minutes. I was in there trying to, that was something that came up, was the fact that. Like, I was torn between Tyrina and Lily. And part of me was leaning towards Lily initially. And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm Fish. I'm pretending to be Lily. If I send Lily home, this whole character that I've created for Fish goes up in smoke. Yeah. So, like,
I see, because then she revealed her handle.
Exactly. And then everyone knows that she's not Fish. So then my whole strategy just kind of went up in smoke. And mind you, I had no idea that a handle change was coming up. If a handle change had come up, well, might have been different.
So that was kind of like the midway point that I wanted to get to here, was you effectively become the anonymous. And it seems like you're like, dude, X has a handle on this game. And then a twist comes in and it's a handle shakeup, which to me was, so it's hard. And I bet you have the same, you feel the same way. When you're watching a show, it's hard to just watch as a viewer. Mm-hmm. Because we've played games before. Yeah. So now I sit there and I try to watch as a viewer, but I also watch as a gamer and as someone that's trying to come up with strategy.
Yeah.
And it legitimately pissed me off. I was like, are you serious? They're going to shake up the handles right now? Like, this is such a joke.
You know what I mean?
So what goes through your head?
I was pissed. I was so pissed. Because, like, I know why Danny did it. Because, like, I had Danny's number. I was like, I figured you out. Like, I literally have figured out how a group of people can get the anonymous power without having to like throw each other under the bus. Like, I figured out how I can keep my allies safe and ensure one of us gets power. Like, I was like, I've got you beat. And then she throws in a handle switch, which I was like, okay, now it's, that already was going to make people probably start to go rogue. You know, for some people, they were like, shit. Other people, they were like, oh my gosh, this is a fresh start. Let me try a different strategy. And I was like, no. And then also threw in new people and like the kind of environment that I had like worked hard to kind of establish with like not only managing my big brother reputation, me being a lawyer, all of that. Mm-hmm. Like it was good. Now you're throwing in three new people, one person in Bisma who like I never really had time to connect with. So all she's hearing is big brother winner lawyer threat. And then Wayne, who's like a big brother super fan, who's telling everyone he's still shocked that I'm here. So like,
Is not a good thing.
No.
Which is not a good thing at all.
Not at all. My target was already big and it was just, with the twist, it just got huge. And I was like, it's funny because like I've talked to some of my castmates and they're just like, oh dude, that twist blew up your game more than anybody else's. Like you had more of a uphill battle after that than anybody else. I was like, I know.
Well, listen, like, I mean, listen, from one person that's played and then going and playing another game, like, you know, I went to Traders, you know, you coming to the Anonymous. It's like, it's only a matter of time when that facade that you and I think you and I are as similar as we can get when it comes to like playing the game and trying to strategize. But socially, we can really mesh with anybody.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter who we talk to. We can make you feel comfortable, which is, again, why I think we both did well on Big Brother. But it's only a matter of time before they're going to be like, bro, what is X doing here?
Yeah.
Why is he here? I don't care that I didn't watch Big Brother. He won. He shouldn't still be here. So how are you – because I know that had to be in your head every single day.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you navigating these internal thoughts? Because, bro – cool. You were calm, cool, and collected.
Yeah.
every time I watch it, I'm through five episodes so far. Yeah. So like, I know this is going through your head.
Yeah.
So how are you kind of minimizing that? How are you implementing that strategy in the compound?
I'm kind of focusing on controlling what I can control. That's something my old college coach used to say to me all the time. And I didn't
control
really
the controllables.
Yeah. Control the controllables. I used to never really listen to him, but now that I'm an adult, I really am glad he gave me that kind of nugget of knowledge. Cause I use it every day, but, it's like, I can't ultimately like remove the facts that make me. Like I can't take away the fact that I'm a big brother winner. I can't take away the fact that I'm a lawyer, right, athletic, tall. Like I can't take those things away. All I can do is try to show people through my actions and my words that I am someone who it's better to have around than it is to get rid of. Like I was using every argument in the book for why people should keep me. Yes, I'm a huge threat. I wasn't trying to like downplay it or deny it. I am a huge threat. So you want to keep me around because if you're ever at risk, you want me sitting next to you. Me against anybody, you have a fighting chance. You want to keep me around because this is my fourth show. Okay, I've done competitions on every single show I've ever been on, and I've done fairly well. If you want to add money to the pot, I'm your prize cow. You know, like if you want to, I was like, if you, I don't know, need someone that you want to help kind of navigate the game, someone who's got that experience, let me be kind of like your big brother, so to speak. And let me help you kind of figure out like, hey, this is something I'm familiar with. Like I was using every angle and it just would depend on the people that I'm talking to. Like with a Christopher or an Andy, I'm talking to them about getting money. Like you want money, you keep me around. Mm-hmm. With Jack, Nina, it's like, hey, it's kind of like, hey, you guys know that I'm a threat and know that you need to get rid of me. But as long as I'm around, you guys probably aren't going to go anywhere because people are going to get rid of me and before they get rid of you. And they'll get that. And then with like the other players who were kind of lost, it's like, let me try to help you a little bit. Like, hey, I feel like I'm struggling socially. I'm just telling them like, hey,
and it's
you need
stressful
to go out and talk to people. Yeah, it is. Sometimes you just got to.
It's stressful being in there.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to be that sounding board for people. And that's just what I do naturally. That's just who I am. And so it's just kind of leaning into those aspects of who you are that are going to resonate with people. Like the gamers, you got to make game arguments. And then the people who are just kind of in this experience, go through that experience
like a Lily, for example.
Yeah.
Like a Lily is like, it's hard for her to come into an experience like this and just feel comfortable with everybody and needs maybe somebody like that who's going to make her feel comfortable.
I felt bad for her show. Because in the initial days, she said in her MIV, she was just like, I'm a person where like, if I get in the crowd, she just kind of like, you know, the bigger personalities can kind of take over. And I was like, I get that, you know, and I felt bad. Right. You know, it sucked that she wasn't someone who I was actively working with, but like, I got that. So we would talk about that. And I would tell her just things like, hey, it was like, if this isn't like kind of your personality, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. Like you're going to have to be intentional about going and trying to have conversations with people. And you see like in the next couple of days, she's being more conscious of going out of her way to have conversations and try to connect with people. And it was great to see, because it's like, okay, cool. You're playing the game more from a social aspect. And she especially did that when the new player showed up. She couldn't wait to see Bismal Wayne and Victoria show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's
even hard as a viewer, you know, to see somebody who's struggling like that.
Yeah.
And then the game is kind of imploding on them. Like the game is like, well, good. Well, we're going to eat you up now.
The twist, though I hate it for me personally being in the game, you just see a complete 180 in like the power structure of the game. Like players who might have been on the bottom now feel like they have new life. Like they have new potential allies. They have new handles to present a new strategy. Like they get a rebirth. For players who have kind of been pretty in control of the game at that point, now they have to try to figure out how to gain that same level of control in a completely new environment. Like it was almost like a full reset. And that was, it was funny because Derek Frazier, he hit me up after seeing episode 3 and 4 and he was pissed. He was like, why would they throw in that twist? I was like, look, man, they threw in that twist because I figured out Danny. And like, that's just kind of how it goes. But
yeah. Oh, so you think, you think they changed the game for you?
So I did. At first I thought that was like, when I left, I was like, that's probably why y'all threw it in. But then I saw an interview that they did under like USA Insider, which pretty much confirmed exactly that. the executive producer was talking about, like, they were sitting, you have this twist, and the challenge for producers with figuring out a twist is like when to throw it in. And he's like, you want to, you know, you have players who have done this before, veteran players. And then it, like, the quote goes to like me and Nina. And, you know, when those players are settling in, you want to hit them with a twist that's like going to throw them off and kind of get them out of their rhythm. And it has to be something that's like super impactful to the game. So, like, yeah. Again, it wasn't directly me, but I think if I hadn't figured Danny out, that twist might have been delayed a little bit longer.
Yeah,
because that was a late night.
dude, you were awesome. So listen, everybody, you can catch Anonymous on USA Network every Monday night, or you can catch the episodes dropping on Peacock. So if you're subscribed to Peacock, you'd be checking out Xavier. Listen, man, appreciate you joining here on the Winner's Circle. Where can everybody find you to stay up to date with everything you got going on?
You can follow me on social media at Xavier E. Prather. On any social media platform, that is my handle, at Xavier E. Prather.
All right. I appreciate you, man. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on the Winner's Circle. See you guys next time.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
The new McCrispy Strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Now at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like, last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.